Thursday, so that Brother Edward thought that would help. I'm not sure it did. But I finally thought of the seven C's of fatherhood. So I got to thinking, 7 points. If I just go 5 minutes a point, that's 35 minutes. That's not bad. That's not bad. But then I got thinking, I might get a little long on each point. I might go 10 minutes on each point. And then I did the math. I didn't even need a calculator. Seven times 10 is 70. Now that works in the Bible somewhere. That comes out pretty good math. But I thought for a sermon that probably wouldn't go over too good. And as I got to thinking about it, I noticed some of them kind of overlapped anyway. So I never really did come up with all seven. I kind of dropped that real quick. But I came up with three. Isn't that amazing? Three. And you're really going to be impressed this morning because I rarely do this. They all start with the letter C. They all start with the letter C. So we're going to sail the three C's. Actually, when I was thinking of the seven C's, I thought, you know, there's actually seven C's, right? For all you geography majors, I believe there's seven C's. And I thought, you know, each one of those probably has a characteristic. And I could just really wax eloquent on comparing ourselves to the seven C's. But I thought, how in the world am I going to figure that out? All I know is that some begin with ocean and some begin with seas. And so I gave up on that real quick, too. But did I tell you I didn't have a text? Did I mention that? I didn't have a text. Now, some preachers, it wouldn't matter anyway. They don't really need a text. And I've probably done that, too. You know, you read your text and then you take that leap of faith. Kimberly, did your dad ever do that? Yeah, I think we all. Where's Sister Keys? Yeah. You hang on, sister. You're in trouble. Sometimes that happens. You know, you take the text and then they're gone. And you wonder, why they even bother? Well, I got to think, well, that may not be so bad. I don't have a text. Why even bother? It's not going to make any difference. But I was sitting at a wedding yesterday. Lovely place to be on a Saturday afternoon. Actually, I sort of enjoyed it. You know, the best thing about weddings, husbands, if you go with your wife, if you don't go with your wife, it doesn't do you any good. But the best thing about going to the wedding is you can kind of renew your own vows. And you can think back to when you were up front and everybody was watching your wife. They never watched the groom. You know, guys, save your money on these tuxedos. They won't. What color did the men wear the other day? See? The wedding we were at, what color did the men wear? Was it all black? Now see, if it hadn't been black, you wouldn't have remembered that. What color did the ladies wear? Green. Except for one, well, except for about three. But what did the main one wear? Right, that's an easy one, isn't it? White and green, and then two of the little ladies wore, help me. Is it pink? Yeah. It's kind of like a green. It goes by different names, doesn't it, Warren? Not all pinks are the same. I'm going to impress you. In Spanish, it's rosa. Rosa. That's pink. Where's Luke? He needs to remember that. But anyway, I really honestly didn't have a text until yesterday. And I was sitting there in the service and then it came to me. What's the one common thread that weaves through everything we do? Those of you who were at the wedding should know. What's that one common thread that just weaves through all of our life? It's a four-letter word, a good four-letter word. Love. Who said that? Thank you. Thank you. Love. And so where does that take you? It makes it easy when you come up with a theme. 1 Corinthians 13. Turn there with me if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're just going to read verses 4 through 7. We're going to jump right in the middle of that. And we're going to read just a few short verses. First Corinthians, it's got to be in my Bible too. Chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Joshua, don't take too many notes this morning. This is probably how not to preach. 4 through 7. And let me substitute there that first word with the word love. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Bears all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Let me share that in a paraphrase. This is just one Bible scholar who tried to put this in kind of his own words, and it brings out some phrases that might mean a little bit more to us. He said, love is patient, love is kind, love knows no envy, love is no braggart. It is not inflated with its own importance, it does not behave gracelessly, it does not insist on its own rights. It never flies into a temper. It does not store up the memory of any wrong it has received. It finds no pleasure in evil doing. It rejoices with the truth. It can endure anything. It is completely trusting. It never ceases to hope. And it bears everything with triumphant fortitude. That's one man's interpretation of what we read this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. We thank you for each one that has come out into your house. We just pray now that you will help us to draw something from the words that will be spoken. Father, take your word and apply it to our hearts. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the three C's to a happy home. Fathers, husbands, this is for you. The rest of you can listen. Young men, take note. Just one sidelight. I thought Kimberly's comment was just right on target. For all of you who would like to be married someday, let me just add one bit of advice. The way they treat you when they date, man, how can I say this without getting in trouble? It's going to be worse after you get married. Okay? With the best connotation on the word worse. How they treat you when they date. I dated a couple young ladies, and you mothers need to pray for your sons. They can be so blind when it comes to this thing of dating. They think they're in love. And I put up with some things that, if my wife tried that, I'd probably whop her upside the head. But you stop and think about it. When you're supposed to be in love, what are you trying to do? You're trying to put your best foot forward the whole time. And if they can't do that while you're dating, what's going to happen when you get married and you're blessed with children? Most of you are about like me. We're not perfect in our performance. Okay? We're not perfect in our performance. And if they can't perform perfectly when you're dating, how's it going to be after you're married? So you take that. That's free. That wasn't even in my notes. But I thought Kimberly's comment was real, real good on that. So you young men, take heart. Three C's to a happy home. Fathers, things that we need to work on, and I picked that word because I knew that would just lock right into some of you work. Things that we need to work on to maintain a peaceful home. And point one is we need to work on maintaining a sense of the comical. A sense of the comical. Now that makes absolutely no sense to you, does it? It doesn't really to me. But you know why I chose that phrase and that word? It starts with a C. Yeah. And it's the only word I could think of that meets my actually two subpoints here. It's the only word I could come up with that started with a C. So I picked that word, a sense of the comical. We need to keep a good sense of humor. We need to keep a good sense of humor. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Proverbs 15:15, he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. How many remember I showed up in this church, actually the church right over there, about 7 years before I met my wife? Do any of you remember when I kind of showed up? I think my hair was a little long back then, wasn't it? Yeah, I'm not going to say that. Anyway, it was a little bit long back then. I remember the first time I went to the print shop, I'm a little embarrassed. It was still, a little bit longer than it is now. And I got thinking about that later, and I bet you my father-in-law probably remembered. And when I came back around 7 years ago, he probably thought, oh my, we're in trouble now. But I remember that. Anyway, when I first visited here, I didn't think you people smiled, let alone laughed. And some of you, if I didn't teach the Bible class, I'd still wonder if you smiled or laughed. But I found out they do, folks. The older folks, we do smile and we do laugh. But we can take life too seriously sometimes. And yes, it is serious. But sometimes we can take it a little too seriously. And sort of a second point that kind of blurs in with this idea of keeping a sense of humor is keeping a relaxed atmosphere in our home. That's extremely important. Now, we've done like some others. We've converted our home into a school. And that adds some tension that you don't have in every home. When you have to go from just being a dad to being their teacher. And some of you can remember the worst teachers you've ever had. Well, sometimes those dads can be the worst teacher that you could ever have. And I demand quite a bit. I expect a lot. Sometimes I don't communicate that too well. Sometimes their expectations are more down here and mine are way up here. And they should probably be down here. But, you know, that happens to fathers. It doesn't happen to mothers, does it? But sometimes that adds a more serious note to the home. And it has to be that way. They have to do the work. And I got to thinking, you know, you parents whose children go to school and at shows and then they come home, I thought, you just escape all that. But then I remember the other H word. Yeah, homework. Oh, I thought, you know what? Everyone here is in the same boat once your children start school. They have to do their homework. Does that not add tension to the home life? Yeah, it changes the atmosphere a little bit, doesn't it? Your children have homework to do, and they do it too, don't they? They do it too. I've got kids on my bus. Toward the end of the year, I had five of them right up there behind me, sixth grade to eighth grade, five of them. And once they got over the shock of being up in front, they really seemed to enjoy it. And they would talk, and you can drive and listen, you know. And they got to talking one day about their grades. And one said, you know, I remember the first time I got an F. I thought it stood for fantastic. You know, he was just joking, of course, but put the best on everything. But thought it meant fantastic. And they kept talking, and one of them's an eighth grader, and he's convinced that you can't flunk eighth grade. Now, I don't know if that's true. But he's convinced that no matter what you do, you cannot flunk eighth grade, and he was counting on that. I'm going to look him up next year and see if he's in ninth grade, because I don't think he would make it any other way. But they would talk, and you know what I noticed? Number one, I don't even know if they carried books home. And you can't do homework if you don't take your books home, but I don't think they take their books home. I doubt they do their homework. And the sad part is, I don't think their parents even care. I don't think their parents even care. And as I watched their behavior compared to some of the kids that I knew did their homework, because you see their names in the paper about once a quarter. They make the honor roll. And these others, they never show up in the paper. I should go somewhere with that, but it's kind of like Sunday school. Someone said something, I didn't hear a word she said. Well, sometimes I can talk and forget even what I'm saying. Homework. It adds a little stress, but somehow we need to maintain, even in the midst of that necessary stress, a relaxed atmosphere. And one way is to maintain that sense of humor. Now, I'm not a joke teller. I hear jokes on the bus coming home, and I try to, if they're really good, and sometimes they're pretty good jokes, and I try to remember from the time I get off the bus till I get up to the house to try to tell that to my wife, and most of the time I can't even remember that long what it was, but I just know it was funny. But I'm not a joke teller, but I do enjoy, I enjoy the comic strips. I hope that's not too big of a taboo here. If it is, forgive me. I'm not talking about comic books. I was never a comic book reader. Brother Edward, you're from England. Did they have comic books in England? Yes. I'm not going to ask any more questions. But I wasn't a comic book reader. I don't think I ever bought one in my whole life. And I'm not as tight as some of you. But that was part of it. I was just too tight to let go of my money, but not quite as tight as some of you. But I don't think I ever owned a comic book. So I'm not talking about that. And now they come out with these graphic novels. Have you been to your public library lately? Is there anyone here who's never heard of the Hardy Boys? Oh, that's good. Everybody has. Have you read at least one? You know how many times I've read book one? Yeah, I've read book one a lot of times. Is anyone in my boat? You start every summer, you're going to read through the whole series, but you don't have time, so you quit. And what do you do next summer? You start with book one all over again. You have to read them in one big swoop. So I've read The Tower of Treasure I don't know how many times. But they've come up with these graphic novels. And you know what they are? Have you seen them yet? Some of these young men have, I'm sure. They look like, you open up, you flip through them, and they look like comic books. And they just give you kind of the main dialogue, you know, what they say, and they have a picture. And then the next person says something, and that's all they do. They don't give you any of that good background. They don't tell you what the surrounding environment looks like. They don't tell you what the weather is. They don't tell you anything about the character. They don't give you anything except just what they say. And I think they should be banned. I really do. I think they should be banned. My sons have read, I think, the Hardy Boys, some of those, but they're not big fans either, I don't think. If they are, I'm going to dissuade them. But not talking about that either, but there are some strips in the paper that I find humorous. Not all the time. I mean, they're not all. Most of them aren't written by Christian men or women. I don't know if women write comics or not. But there is one that's pretty humorous, and it's titled Crankshaft. Has anyone ever read that one? Yeah, at least one person. He's a bus driver. Now, go figure. He's a bus driver, and he does things that if we tried to do that on our bus, we wouldn't get the next paycheck. But he's humorous. Now, I even got my kids to reading Crankshaft, and they find it humorous. And you know what? It doesn't hurt to laugh over something that's good and clean. And we can kind of read those and get a good laugh. And you ever noticed how laughter just changes the atmosphere? Yeah, it just changes it. Now, actually, my all-time favorite, I'm going to throw this in just because it's my all-time favorite, and you'd never know otherwise, Calvin and Hobbes. I see one hit. Are there any Calvin and Hobbes? Can you admit that you're, is it okay if we admit we're Calvin and Hobbes fans? Yes. Yes. He is the greatest. I think he's a second grader. Now, does anyone here not know who Calvin and Hobbes is? Oh, I'm going to help you. Calvin's, a second grader. I'm not sure. He's got this little tiger. It's actually a pet tiger. But most of the time, it looks like a real tiger. I mean, as real as a cartoon character can look like. Most of the time, he looks real. And it took me a long time to figure out that he wasn't real. Because sometimes he'd look like a little stuffed teddy bear tiger type thing, you know. And I finally figured out that he's only real in his mind. In his imagination, Hobbes comes to life and he's this big, tall tiger. But in real life, he's just this little stuffed tiger. But anyway, if you need to read a few strips. He is absolutely the greatest in the world. There's a commercial on the radio. It says, would you rather hear the sound of laughter, and then it has the kids laughing in the background, or would you rather hear the fussing and arguing? Well, we all vote for the laughter. Of course, their pitch was, buy our stories, and you'll hear laughter. If you don't buy our stories, you'll hear the fussing. Now, that's not quite true, but it's in the right direction. Are we the only ones whose kids fuss in the back seat? Have your kids all outgrown that yet? Some of you ought to by your age. I mean, can you see the white sitting in the back seat? Mary, let's see, who would she fuss with most? Mary and Brady, thank you. Can you see them two just sitting in the back seat and having to entertain themselves? I don't want to imagine what that would be like. I can just about imagine. But they tend to fuss. But you put that story on, and what's that do? It distracts them from the one across the aisle. Just think we had that problem in church. Maybe that's why we sit together as couples and families. You think that? It might be a little distractive otherwise. But anyway, we a couple years ago went to St. Louis, and there's a lot of traffic sometimes in St. Louis. So I had this brilliant idea. Let's turn the story off and let's be real quiet so Daddy can focus on the traffic. You know, and I might have even lowered my window a little bit so I could hear. I mean, I could see the traffic, but sometimes you want to get really real and you want to hear it. That was a big mistake. That was a big mistake. That was the only time, I really believe, the only time on our vacation that time that our kids fussed in the back seat. And I'll not tell you which two were in the back seat, but it didn't take any time at all, and they started fussing. Play your tapes. Keep the laughter. And we need to do that in our homes, but sometimes it doesn't work out in our homes either, does it? Dads, you think we'd learn, and husbands, you think we'd learn after a while, but we just don't seem to get it. Does it really matter, dads, if you're the one that has to squeeze all the toothpaste up to the front before you can brush your teeth? Does it really make a difference? I mean, how long does it take to pick up that tube of toothpaste and start squeezing it and get it all up to the front so you can just squeeze it out on your toothbrush? Just a couple seconds. Okay? We take longer when we go and try to find out who was the last one that used the toothpaste. You know? It takes longer to find out who did it last than if we just take care of it. And smile about it a little bit, you know? It'd do us good. And just one other thing on keeping the humor. Did you know that someone has to be the last one out of the house? Just by sheer the way things work, someone has to come out last. So why does it matter who it is? You know? Whether it's your wife or your oldest son. Does it matter who comes out last? Not really. So why do we sit there? And you know how we do, husbands. We're sitting there waiting, patiently. We're waiting for that last one, whoever it is, to come out of the house. It happened just the other day. And I did real good yesterday. I did really good. I sat there and I patiently waited. And when the last one finally got into the car, I didn't say anything. Kept my cool. I didn't want to ruin the whole day. And I knew if I said something, I'd ruin the whole day. So I didn't say a word. And when a certain person forgot to bring directions, I said, "No, no problem. We're going in a caravan. Going in a caravan." And how can you get lost going in a caravan? The best thing is I had someone behind me that was content to just follow. And, you know, I thought, as long as she turns the way I turn, I'm okay. And it worked great. It worked great until we got close to where we were supposed to go. And I went straight and she turned. You know, I kind of thought, why didn't you turn your signal on before I got to my stop? Because I was using my signal, I think. Why didn't you turn that signal on and let me know? My wife would have. She knows when I'm not paying attention. But if we can just stay relaxed and just maybe think of Calvin Hobbes and something he did, and nothing's going to change. We're going to get there in the same amount of time. I'll throw this in. Newlyweds, don't ever blow the horn. You know, I'll not ask who's done that. I only did it once. And I really wasn't blowing at my wife. I honestly can say she wasn't in the car yet, but I was blowing at one of maybe more of my children. But I was blowing at my children to hurry up and get out here and get in the van like you're supposed to. And I only did it once. And I sat there, and as soon as I did it, I thought, that's the dumbest thing you could have done. Why did you do that? But I was quick. As soon as my wife got into the van, I said, "Honey, I wasn't blowing it at you." And I think we got through that one. But husband, we need to work at keeping a relaxed, humorous atmosphere in the home. But when we fall short, what do we do? You know, the best thing to do is to just say you're sorry. "I'm sorry, honey. I got in a little bit of hurry." And that goes a long ways. Because you know you're going to have to say it eventually anyway. So why not just take care of it right then? And then you can go ahead and enjoy the day. Because if you don't, come bedtime, you're going to have to tell her you're sorry anyway. So just do it right up front. And your kids will see that. And they'll do the same thing when they grow up and get married. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Someday we won't have this problem and somebody won't have to preach on it. That was point one. Aren't you thankful I didn't go with seven? Quickly, second point, we need to work on our communication skills. Most of you are extroverts. I can't stand that. You grate me beyond measure. I am an extreme introvert. And I like things quiet. And we go into the track and these women show up. And I swear they talk from the time they step on that track until they get off the track. And I tell my wife, said, "How can you talk that much? You know? How can you talk that much?" One lady, we watched her coming clear across from the road, walking with I don't know if it's her husband, boyfriend, or what. She was on her cell phone. She must have walked half an hour or more, and she talked the whole time on her cell phone. How can you do that? I can time my talks. They're about 1 minute if I make a phone call. Not very long. I can't talk that long. But just talk. But and some of you, maybe that's okay. Maybe I'm the only one here that needs this. So if it is, you close your ears. But there's times that we need to communicate with our spouses. And it's not always in what we say. Sometimes to communicate, we need to be just good listeners. Someone has said that God gave us two ears, but only one mouth for a reason. And Etta just about, it's all I could do not to comment when she said that in Sunday school. Two ears and one mouth. The reason is there's times when we need to listen to our spouses. And since we're focusing on fathers, we need to listen to our wives. There's two roadblocks. And Sister Keys, this is your moment to shine. Have you ever heard of the preacher's curse? Do you know what the preacher's curse is? Okay, you probably will as soon as I say it. Have you ever driven along and you're talking to your husband and he's listening? Oh, he's really listening good. And all of a sudden, he just kind of goes off. You know, you can just see it in his eyes. He's gone. You know where he's at? You know where preachers go when their minds take off like that? Either they're preaching last week's sermon, or they're preaching next week's sermon, or, I guess that about takes care of it, doesn't it? Last week and next week. they just go. Their minds are gone. That happened to me, and it happens to Sunday school teachers. Few weeks back, we were going into the track to walk. I was listening to my wife, and I mean, I was really listening. I was saying, I was getting it all. All of a sudden, I was gone, and wasn't going too long, and I can't remember exactly what she said, but something like, "Are you back now?" She's learned. She's learned. Angela, do you have that problem with your husband? Yes. I knew when I thought of this, I knew Edward would be caught on that one. I just knew that would happen. We need to work on being good listeners. Now, let me share something for you wives. Let me give you wives a bit of advice. Isn't it great when a man gives a woman advice? yes, we need to listen. But don't ask your husband a question when he's reading the newspaper. Okay? You know, don't even try. And children, same way. Mine do that. I'll come up later on and they say, "Well, you said we could." And I say, "When did I tell you you could?" "Well, when you were reading a paper." "Well, that don't count. That don't count." I don't know how many things I've agreed to while I read the newspaper. Or maybe it's hunting and fishing. Do you hunters and fishers actually read that? Does anyone read hunting and fishing? Oh, good. Other than looking at the pictures of the animals, I can't see any value in that magazine. But and then you might be reading the 10 easy steps to remodel your bathroom. Don't interrupt. That's important. And whatever you do, don't interrupt if he's reading Calvin and Hobbes. It's a lost case. So wives, that's for you. And just one more bit of advice. Just before your husband falls asleep, don't ask him if the front door's locked. Okay, don't ask. We had an evangelist at Marion come in one time, and he shared about his honeymoon. They were on their honeymoon, and said 2:00 in the morning, heard the sheets rustle, and his wife started to get up out of bed, and he thought, "Oh man, surely the honeymoon's not over already." And so he asked her, said, "Honey, what's wrong?" "Oh, I need a drink of water." "Oh, wait, wait, wait. Let me get it for you." So he arises at 2 o'clock in the morning and he goes to the bathroom or the kitchen, wherever they were on their honeymoon, and he gets her the drink of water and he brings it to her and says, "Here, dear, here's a glass of water." Isn't that great, ladies, if that happens? But you know what? I don't know if you've noticed, but most of our wives, especially after they have children, they don't look like they used to. You ever notice that? They don't look exactly like they did when you married them. And that's okay. Okay, that truly, that is okay. If they would just understand that that's okay, it would help. But it's okay if they don't. But just think, you know, they don't look like they used to. And so some years down the road, 2 o'clock in the morning, you hear the sheets rustle, you know, and by this time you know what she's doing. She's going to go get her a drink of water. You know, we can still say, "Honey, let me do it for you. Let me go and get you that drink of water." Wouldn't that be great? Some of you dads, you can go and get the bottle. Or you can change what needs to be changed. You know, babies have weird time clocks. You ever notice that? They don't know some things. They don't know when they're supposed to go. And sometimes they do it in the middle of the night, I think. I don't know, they do it in the daytime. You can change that diaper. Ladies, do you have your husbands trained on... Aren't Pampers the world's best invention? Any dad can change Pampers. Any dad. So, and grandpas. Grandpas can do it too. Any grandpas here, you can do that too. Another roadblock is... sometimes, you know what we husbands do? We listen just in order... We listen long enough to give an answer. You ever do that? Husbands, your wife's trying to tell you something and we are so full of wisdom that we don't have to wait until they're finished. We can jump in. Sometimes after just a few words, we know exactly where they're going and we know the exact answer. And so we jump in and we give the answer. And you know what they say? And maybe I just read this in a book. All this doesn't mean this is what my wife does. Maybe I read it in a book. But you know what our wives do? They look at us and say, "You're not listening." Well, yeah, we are. We just answered your question. No, they weren't asking a question, were they? They were just trying to tell us something. They already had the answer. And sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. But we need to work on that. We need to work on just listening to what they have to say. Now, you honeymooners, you haven't come here yet. I mean, I'm sure these newlyweds, the husbands just listen. They just eat up every word their wives say. I'm just convinced of it. But time passes, and we need to work on listening. Did I miss any roadblocks? This is your chance, wives. Did I miss any of those roadblocks between your husbands listening to you? And it's probably something that your friend shared with you. It wouldn't be your husband's. Man, I got it all. Isn't that great? Wow. Husbands, take note. There's only two things we do wrong when we don't listen to our wives. What were they? Yeah, our minds wander. Our minds wander. And we interrupt. So if we can avoid those two pitfalls, you just tell them. If they try to complain, you tell them. Say, "Nope, you had your chance. And that one's off the books now." And wives, you have to forget it. You can no longer bring that up against him. That's great. Let me share one way that we can improve our listening. We need to listen with compassion. Not passion, but compassion. Someone said, "Compassion is your pain in my heart." Now, it's a little bit stronger than what I want here, but it sounded good, so I'm going to use it anyway. We need to make what our wives are trying to tell us at that moment the most important thing in the world. Warren, it doesn't matter if that parsonage doesn't get done. If your wife wants to share something with you, you listen. And believe me, you'll get a lot more done than you think. And Edward, this week, I have to tell this one, Brother Edward, I kind of had this feeling that he might ask me to preach. So I was coming up with all my excuses as to why I couldn't do it. And then he called me, and it's like, you know, the Lord said, you know, you better forget those excuses. And so right off, I just said, yeah. But I did hold out. I thought once was enough. And you probably think so too. We need to listen to what our wives say at that moment. And it kind of has the wandering minds. You know how that works. They're talking and all of a sudden we're gone. We need to bring it back and really work on listening. Nonverbal communication. You wonder why you, on Monday, you can rub your wife's big toe and she just thinks that's the greatest thing in the world. And you can have anything you want. And Tuesday, you rub that same toe and same thing. You have anything you want. But then come Wednesday, you rub that toe. And, oh my, don't touch. Ooh-wee. You know what I found out? And again, some of this is just what I've read. Don't think this is all what I've learned from experience. I want to put that disclaimer. It may be something that I've read. I found out that women are made a lot different than we are. And it goes beyond just the outward. Inside, women are just a lot more complex than us men. And they go through changes that if God made us men go through it, we would never survive. We just never would survive. And so when they say don't touch, you know, just don't do it. You know, wait a few days and the sun will shine again. The sun will shine again. We need to be sensitive to our wives. And I don't even want to say moods because that's not really being fair. Because you know what we think of when we say our wife is in a mood? Yeah, it's all negative, isn't it? Well, when she gets over that mood of hers, then it'd be okay. Well, it's not that mood at all. It's just some things that are natural. That's the way God made them. There's verbal communication. And if I ever fell short in an area, it would probably be right there. I can see why preachers bring water bottles to the pulpit. They ever bother you? You always think, if you can't stand up there and preach without getting you a drink of water, then you shouldn't stand up there and preach. You know? You've said enough. If you can't say it without drinking in the sanctuary of all things, then you've said enough. But so be it. I'm sure they're not going to listen to me. But we need to, sometimes we need to talk. What's the hardest thing to talk to our wives about? What we feel, isn't it? We can talk to her about our next work project. We can even talk to them about money. But isn't it a little bit harder? Maybe this is just us poor introverts. Maybe you extroverts have a monopoly on this. But isn't it a little bit harder to share how you really feel? I've been married 17 years and I'm still that way. It's still hard for me to... I think it's easier to stand up and testify than it is to share my feelings with my wife. Isn't that funny? What was that? You got to speak a little louder. I can't hear. See, I told you I didn't like extroverts. That's why, right there. You never had that problem. And that's no reflection on you, dear. It's all me. I take all the credit. Well, that means we might as well just shut down. except I've got one more point. The most important area is our commitment to God. And I'm just going to talk a few minutes, and this is to those who have taken that first step, and we've made that commitment to God. The first thing we need to do is make sure our relationship with our wife is where it ought to be. 1 Peter 3:7, the last part of that verse says, that your prayers be not hindered. Let me just really quick. You probably know it's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I suppose I could have memorized that, but I didn't. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, the them being your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Have you ever, and Tim, you don't have this problem, so you don't need to listen, but have you ever had something between you and your wife? And it's always the little things. If it was big, we'd say something. So it's always these little things that are kind of not even annoying, but kind of along those lines where you don't quite see eye to eye. Have you ever tried to prepare your Wednesday night prayer meeting when there's something kind of in between you and your wife, and you know what you need to do? You need to go and apologize for maybe something you said, or probably something you didn't say or didn't do. You know, it's not always things we do. Sometimes it's what we don't do. You ever try to do that? Get your Bible study ready? You ever try to teach a Sunday school class? Can you imagine trying to preach when you know you need to tell your wife you're sorry about something? You would think, working on a message like this, that when something trivial comes up, you would think you would have sense enough to nip it in the bud. Well, some of us don't have much sense. And sometimes we have to just say we're sorry. We need to value our wife's input. I found that whenever I do it my way, it doesn't work out. I could share some examples, but I'm not going to. Whenever I do it my way, it's never worked out. But whenever I listen to my wife and I weigh that, and a lot of times it's a mixture of both our ideas. You know, it's not always either or, but it's both and. And if we can just get to that point where it's both and, we'll go a long way. Prayer. What is prayer? Conversation with God. It's hard because we don't see Him. If He would just come down and when we get ready to pray and sit there and we could just talk to Him like we would a friend, maybe it would make a difference. I don't know. But we need to work on that conversation with God. And like any conversation, we need to listen. And I think that's the hardest thing, is to listen to God. I heard someone once say that it was easy to pray an hour. You just have to have a long enough list. And I appreciated where they were coming from, and I understand what they're talking about. But prayer isn't always just one direction. It's not just our telling God what needs to be done. We need to listen. And we need to worship. We can't make our whole prayer time singing. Some of you love to sing, and if you do that, you're probably not really praying, but it doesn't hurt to sing a little bit when we enter into God's presence. And then Bible reading. Why do we feel so guilty not to read the Bible? Or why do we even feel guilty sometimes when we do? You ever feel guilty when you're reading the Bible? You hear all these people talk about how things just jump out at them, and you're reading along and nothing jumps out. You know, I think one reason is, and I know the Word of God is different than any other book we read, but How many times do you read the same book over and over again? You know? Probably not too many. We don't have time. There's too many books out there to read. We don't have time to read the same book over and over again. If you read the same book one of the Hardy Boys series, you're going to be like me. You'll never get through it. So we can't just keep reading the same book. We can't do that with God's Word. You know, we can't read it once and say that's all we need. And yet, when we go back and read something that we're familiar with, it's a lot harder. So do we give up? Do we quit? Do we don't read? I don't know if that's proper grammar or not, but forgive me if it wasn't. No, we keep on reading, don't we? And then we can be like others. Somewhere along the line, we will read His Word and a verse will jump out at us. And it will be just what we need. We talked about in our Sunday school class about how God does things differently than how we expect. Well, I trust fathers will improve. Husbands, I hope we'll work on our listening. If you have that problem, maybe you don't have that problem. I'm not going to ask the wives for a show of hands as to how many husbands need to work on that, but I think we all do. And I think if we can strengthen our home and strengthen our homes, we'll have a stronger church and we can do more for God. It's been good to be in His house. Just think, we're kind of getting used to these longer services, aren't we? Come back tonight and be prepared to support Brother Keyes. And suddenly I'm not as nervous as I was. I was sitting there, and I've done worse, but I was sitting there and the quartet was singing. I was doing fine. And I thought, you know, this is a great song. Then all of a sudden my heart just started doing that. I almost checked my blood pressure this morning, but I forgot by the time I thought about it before I could even do it. Forgot to check it, but it might be down a little bit now. I don't know. But come back tonight. And fathers, enjoy your day. Wives, be extra nice to us. Be extra nice to us. We deserve it. We put up with a lot. Just an absolute lot. But we enjoy every minute. How many husbands would go back to the way they were? See? Wives, look around, wives. No husband wants to go back to the way it was. You know, when you go out with the buddies and you're not really having a good time, but what else are you going to do? It's much better to go home to a wife. And I'm finished. Let's stand.